This is the Sports on Tap Brothers podcast, and it is our hookah edition, shisha, the argile, Middle Eastern puffin device, episode 3. George, how you doing today?
Fantastic, Sammy. How you doing today? I'm George, the big brother.
Oh, I'm Sammy, the little brother, and today what we're doing, you're going to see us in the same outfits twice because we're doing two different pods today. So if you're listening to the first one, the second one is going to be in the same outfit, same setting, because we got a travel week ahead. But we're going to do a full-on NBA playoffs, end of the season, whatever you'd like to call it, podcast. Three questions each, interview style, not a debate, trying to break out of the debate shows. And then next week you guys will get a non-relevant, kind of like more topics that aren't about the NBA playoffs. And then the week after that, we'll probably be back to NBA playoffs as the first round will probably be concluding.
Well, will it be? I don't know. Like, they spread out the games so much. I don't even know what the schedule's like.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's usually like a week and a half or two, right? It is crazy if you think about it. Like, I was talking to my fiance, which sometimes I say girlfriend. Now I'm actually saying fiance correctly. I was talking to her about it, and we're talking about, like, oh, next year wedding, like, maybe beginning of June, because she's like, the playoffs just started. But I was like, yeah, probably beginning of June. But then I thought about it more and more, and I was like, it's April, what, like 14th today? And I was like, the NBA Finals will still be going on by like June 10th, 12th.
It usually ends right around June 17th, like right around Father's Day.
2 months. It's
April
a long
to May. May to June. Yeah,
it's a long, like, the fact that it's starting right now and I'm like, oh, wait, in 60 days it's still going to be going on. Like,
it's a whole different
long
season, I feel like. I mean, this is a whole, and even the style of play is different.
It's pretty crazy, if you ask me. But make sure, before we get started, you follow us everywhere. At the Sports on Tap, at the Sports on Tap, all platforms. Subscribe to the pod if you're listening on Apple or wherever on YouTube. You can also watch them on Spotify as a video as well and listen on all platforms. So just look up the Sports on Tap Brothers. And I think we should get started, George, on our playoff basketball topics.
Yeah, and I guess I'll go first because it's very, very relevant to what's going on this exact second. So after the Chicago Bulls are playing the Miami Heat right now, Sammy, in the play-in game, the winner gets the 8th seed. Patrick Beverley, after last year's playoff game, celebrated like he won the NBA Finals. This year, he basically said we knew they were weak and started talking shit after the game. And there's other players in the NBA who talk a lot. So it got me thinking, Sammy, it's a two-pronged question I want to ask you. Who's the most, like, overconfident players, like, for example, Patrick Beverley, like, he shouldn't be talking this much crap, right? In the NBA right now, and of all time.
Overconfident.
Yeah.
Well,
or I could even rephrase it too.
Overly cocky.
Yeah. Who talks too much without as much substance?
Well, one of them is true and not true. Not Giannis, sorry. I saw him on a commercial. Draymond Green.
Okay.
But. I say that because, like, not necessarily because he can also talk, because if I was him, I'd be talking. So, okay. And I think, like, you know, he talked about that when it came to Dylan Brooks, another example, right?
That's who I was hoping you would say.
Yeah, and he mentioned that. He was like, you know, like, when you win four championships, you can talk too, right? Yeah. And that's where, like, with Draymond, I don't know if Draymond Green would be the player he is with the resume he has if he got drafted to the Charlotte Hornets, right?
Or would he be talking as much?
Yeah, probably wouldn't be talking as much. Although he was always a talker, right? Once you're like that, you're like that. Beverly's been like a pest on players, like on the court, off the court, a talker, which I do like too. And there's certain guys I like when they do it. But I think right now in the NBA, definitely a Draymond Green, definitely Patrick Beverley, and definitely Dylan Brooks. What I'll say about each one is Beverley, really, like, if you listen to him talk, he has that Pat Bev podcast, like, actually really freaking cool.
He's a great dude.
Yeah, great dude. And, like, shout out to the Ryan Russillo podcast on The Ringer. People always on the Life Advice leave their comparisons of NBA players. Nobody's ever said Patrick Beverley, I feel like, on that.
I feel like most people would be Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, like, I talk a lot of shit, right? I'm a point guard, like, compared to Patrick Beverley, he's probably a better shooter than me, but, like, in a pickup game, like, I could be ice cold and miss every shot, or I can hit a couple like Patrick Beverley, play hard defense, dive at a ball, and talk a lot of crap for no reason. But he made it. So, like, with all these guys, they have all the rights to talk. Draymond Green, 4 championships. Dylan Brooks is the one where I feel like he kind of, like, his, even if his, like, off-the-court quotes or sometimes like kind of dickish.
Yeah, like, oh, I want to knock off LeBron James next round before even knowing that they were going to play Lakers.
Yeah, like the difference between him and like Patrick Beverley or Draymond Green, they'd be like, oh, I'm so excited for this series. Like, I hope we can get this win. I'd love to beat that team. It means a lot. Like, Patrick Beverley's talking about what it meant when he was on his podcast. He talked about what it would mean to beat the Lakers, who are, you know, in the running for the playoffs. When you move into the Bulls, he's like, I'd love to beat them. He wasn't like, yeah, you know, we have a good matchup against LeBron and, like, we'll beat him.
Right.
Like, Dylan Brooks definitely right now is the most overconfident without much to show for it. Granted, great defensive player. High-quality NBA player. Like, many teams would love to have him.
Oh, yeah.
But I will just say, a little too cocky for this early in the league. Pat Beverley even, like, progressed over time. So did Draymond Green with winning more. Grizzlies haven't won yet. So I think he's right now probably the over-talker in the NBA without the results yet. But with that said, he does play on a great team. And, he is a good basketball player. But I will start with that before I get to all-time.
Okay, I do agree with the Dylan Brooks. I guess some honorable mentions. I'm just trying to think out loud. Bobby Portis?
NBA champ, also.
Yeah, but role player. I mean, does he talk a lot, or did he just punch a teammate once, so I think like that?
Yeah, I think he's fine. You know why, too? Like, he took, that two-year, $13 million contract when he was getting offered, like, triple the money at other teams because he wanted to win a championship. So I got nothing but respect for Bobby Portis. A little bit cocky, but he's not. I don't think he's as much of a trash talker. I think he just... it's kind of like a dick in one locker room or like got in a fight.
PJ Tucker?
I think there's a big difference between the overly confident and the like you just play super hard and like talk a little bit. Because like even PJ Tucker, I can't recall any like ridiculous quotes or things he said.
No, he talked a little bit of crap to Katie's mom. Okay, another one.
But she said, I love you after.
Yeah,
I love
exactly.
You too.
It's like more fun play.
They obviously know each other.
Yeah. Another one I'll throw out there. He's not in the NBA. Well, he is, but not. Jay Crowder?
I think he's also kind of PJ Tucker level.
Yeah.
Although, I will say... thought too highly of himself this offseason.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking about guys who think too highly of themselves right now. Like, he's definitely a guy who thinks too highly of himself.
Like, because those two things are very, to me, could be a little different. Like, what's his name? Dion Waiters thinks he's the best player in the NBA.
Yeah,
but he's
true.
Not, like, that cocky, right? He just thinks every time he shoots, the ball is going to go in the hoop.
Russell Westbrook right now.
Yeah, but
today,
also
not all time.
But also like won an MVP. So
yeah.
This is where like I feel like once you get to those like star levels, those are hard ones, right? Like you could say like Kobe Bryant was a big shit talker and this but like the guy won 5 championships. Like you know what I mean? Like I just feel like the certain guys, like Dylan Brooks and Patrick Beverley, haven't won anything yet. And it's almost like, damn. I have one that you're gonna find interesting.
All right, tell me.
Who's gone in multiple like two organizations now. Mm-hmm. Kind of bad terms in both, I feel like, at the end. Rudy Gobert, and like, three-time defensive player of the year.
Yeah, but he's just French.
Yeah, still. I mean, what does that have to do with it?
No, they're always like, kind of like, you know, they're all stuck up, supposedly.
He grabbed the mic, joking about COVID, started COVID in the NBA, punched a teammate in the chest the other day, left Utah kind of like weird terms. Like, remember him and Donovan Mitchell didn't talk for offseason,
true.
They said. He seems like a guy that's a little maybe overly confident despite being a 3-time defensive player of the year and a good NBA player, but also too much of a talker.
Spencer Dinwiddie?
Yes. Okay. There we go. You win.
That's it? Yep. Spencer Dinwiddie, yeah.
Spencer Dinwiddie went on this rant about, I was the number one player that led a team to the playoffs. Like, that was the year where he was with Brooklyn and, like, D'Angelo Russell, who D'Angelo Russell is better than you.
Another guy?
Yeah, but he's cool.
Yeah, I know.
He's not like going and being like, oh, I'm the best player on this team. And like, Kyle Kuzma's a bitch who's won a championship.
True.
Like, the whole Spencer Dinwiddie thing, he was talking all this crap about Kuzma and all this. Like, Kuzma, first of all, is more valuable to a basketball team than Spencer Dinwiddie, my humble
opinion.
He was the third best player on that Lakers championship team. Or like the third
most
important.
Some will say Mickey Mouse championship, but I think it's a championship.
It's a championship. I tend to find that one just as hard as any other championship. No home court advantage.
I couldn't agree
that
more.
That was pure pickup basketball, best team wins. Like, you saw, like, how good a guy like Jamal Murray can be just, like, playing in a neutral court, pickup basketball, no crowd interference stuff. I think Spencer Dinwiddie might take the cake right now. He tried to do that whole cryptocurrency, like, I raised $25 million on a GoFundMe, and you pick where I go.
I forgot about that.
And he raised, like, $1 million.
Totally forgot about that.
Like, if LeBron did that, he probably raised $25 million. Spencer Dinwiddie raised, like, 1/25th of his, like 1% of what he was looking
for. I guess there are some diehard Dinwiddie fans. There is someone out there, Sammy, in this country that's favorite player is Spencer Dinwiddie.
Yeah, but probably not very many.
Not many, but there is someone out
there. It'd be probably a kid that was like 9 years old when the Nets made the playoffs of Dinwiddie. Yeah,
has a Dinwiddie jersey.
Yeah, but probably not their favorite player anymore.
Who else could be? Christian Woods?
Nah. He doesn't talk. I can't tell you one story about him talking too much.
All right. Porter from the Rockets.
Kevin Porter?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about Jalen Green?
Well, Jalen Green's like a number one player, so Porter.
Porter's more of a troublemaker, I feel like, than like a overly cocky.
Mikey Williams will fit that bill soon.
Yeah, he's not even make the NBA now. He has 12 counts of. Did you see that today?
Yeah, you called that early.
Yeah, so these guys are going to have problems. I don't want to involve the young guys because the overly young guys, and like I'm not saying Dylan Brooks has been in the league now for like 4 or 5 years. The young guys that are like first or second year guys, who knows what they're going to be in the NBA.
Fair.
But like I think it's somewhere in between those guys of like the Patrick Beverly, Dylan Brooks, and the like Gobert, Draymond Green. Now Draymond Green's on another level because he's won 4 championships, but Gobert is like a $100 million contract guy who's been a 3-time defensive player of the year. Like he has some room to talk, right?
Absolutely.
So, but I think Dinwiddie might be the number one answer. Like, you have a guy like Dinwiddie acts like we're watching Jimmy Butler right now. Dinwiddie thinks he's Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler has like led a team to the finals.
Absolutely.
And like is a like clear number one on a team. He might never win a championship, but he led a team to a finals as the number one.
And he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Dinwiddie's not going to sniff the Hall of Fame.
Oh, well. Not with this NBA, who knows?
No, he's not even an all-star. It's not even close.
I know. I think close. That's about it, though, on the guys now. Do you have any, like, all-timers? We'll keep the all-timers short.
It's hard for me to do that one because my mind's so, like, on the
current day.
Yeah, the guys right now. All-timer. Who was a guy that talked way too much? I don't know. You're gonna have to make me like refresh the memory on this.
I know. I'm trying to think of some too, like, but I can't really like right off the top of my head say any.
Like, because you could say like a Dennis Rodman wasn't overly cocky. The guy like played his heart out every game.
Yeah, there's no one I can like think of off the top of my head. Like you, like too much confidence, not enough substance.
I'm trying to think, maybe even like early 2000.
No, Kwame Brown.
Yeah, now he's talking, but like even he was just like a bust.
Steven Jackson. And Ron Artest.
And Matt Barnes.
And Matt Barnes. There we go.
Those guys. All the guys that have like a Showtime podcast right now. Like the Steven Jackson, Matt Barnes, which no hate on them. I mean, shit, they've had better careers than we have. made a lot of money and were in the NBA for multiple years. Good basketball players too. But like talk as if they are. Like, they talk, like, they'll, like, talk crap about, like, a Zach LaVine. Like, at least Zach LaVine's a 2-time All-Star, and they've never made an All-Star game. I would say that's kind of, like, some of the dudes. I'm trying to think, like, back, like, who was, like, a guy that talked a lot of crap that got knocked out a lot in the first round?
I'm trying to think of someone, but I can't, like... Met a world peace earlier in his career, but
he also won a championship.
Yeah, talking about earlier before he won championships, maybe like you know, punt did start the malice in the palace.
Steven Jackson, I think, was the best example there. Like the Barnes, Steven Jackson, like talk as if they're like 10-time All Stars, but
yeah, like Hall of Famers, Hall of Fame podcasters though.
They're very good at their podcast. But yeah, I would honestly lean because like I can't really think about the '90s right now. Like '90s, kind of everyone was cocky too.
Yeah, everyone
like,
was cocky. It was like amazing.
Reggie Miller was cocky. Like
Allen Iverson. Yeah,
everyone on the Knicks was cocky. Everyone on the Bulls was
Charles
cocky.
Charles Oakley,
and Charles Barkley was cocky. Oakley too, but like I said, like we're talking about like productive. I think the hard thing about looking back at the '90s, George, is that. If they were like one of those cocky players that really didn't amount to much, we probably forgot about them.
Absolutely.
And that's like going to be a guy like you know, a Patrick Beverly. Maybe in like 15 years, like if you ask this question, we're not going to remember Patrick Beverly.
Exactly.
That much, unless his podcast career continues. The only guys remembered was Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes because they have a podcast. But I would definitely, to conclude, say right now it's Spencer Dinwiddie.
Okay.
After this week.
Yeah.
It's very relevant.
He takes most least valuable talker award.
And the reason behind it, too, it's like he's talking because the Brooklyn Nets are in the playoffs, and he's like, we made the playoffs. The Nets were in first.
I forgot that they're even in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're the five seed. Yeah. They were in the first seed when they traded Durant and like Kyrie, and they like second seed, I think. And they dropped. They were like 10-20 since the trades.
Mikal Bridges is playing out of his mind, but that's a different story.
Yeah, he's the best player on the team, but like Dinwiddie's talking like he led the team to the playoffs. He got traded with like 25 games left, and they went like 10-15, and they're just in the playoffs.
Exactly.
So like, a little too much talking. Like, at least with Patrick Beverley, you could say over the last couple of years, he's been extremely productive to teams. He got traded to the Bulls, and it actually did turn their season around to get it into the play-in game. And they won the first play-in game. And right now, this is live during the Heat game. What's the score?
90-87 Bulls.
They might make it to the playoffs ever since Patrick Beverley came in. So, and he led the Timberwolves to their first playoff and since Jimmy Butler was there that one year.
Exactly.
Those are the guys.
Ultimate glue guy.
He really is, though. I think that's all we got for that topic.
Love it.
Okay. Shout out Spencer Dinwiddie. All right, George. My first question is kind of a long-ended question. I wrote out probably like two or three sentences. Okay. I'm just going to read to you what I wrote, and we'll discuss it, and you can interpret the question however you'd like, and maybe I'll have some follow-ups. But this is like in regards to Zion Williamson not playing in the play-in game. And maybe this generation of players. But David Griffin, the GM of the Pelicans, said about Zion not playing and being out of shape. He said a big part is on him because the whole report is that he actually wasn't ready to play because he's pretty out of shape and like he's maybe not recovered enough. And he quote-unquote said a big part is on him. Like from the GM, that's a big thing to say about your super-duper star player.
CJ McCollum said the same thing. He said we needed to learn how to take care of ourselves off the court. He didn't say Zion. We said ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, like Brandon Ingram plays every game. Like so does CJ McCollum. So does everybody else on the team, right?
Yeah.
Do you look at Zion differently after sitting out a win or go home playoff game? Or do you think this generation is just not as committed, so much money, whatever it is? I'll add, Reggie Miller also called out Luka for his conditioning and his maturity. This year, Luka had a lot of little arguments with coaches, not playing hard enough. Jason Kidd called him out for not playing hard enough. And that team has guys like Luka and Kyrie, who maybe maturity comes into question, conditioning comes into question. So, two-part question is, do you look at Zion differently after not playing that game? And do you think this generation's maybe not as committed because they make so much money out the gate and, like, just doesn't matter for them as much?
I actually have a very, very concrete answer to this. I'm not even going to talk about do I look at Zion differently because I look at this era differently. I look at this era as the too much too soon era. For example, who are the three guys who are going to finish 1, 2, 3 in the MVP this year? We got Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis.
Yep, the finalists came out, those three.
Yeah, those are the three finalists. Embiid, he was a high-end draft pick, but he wasn't like too much too soon coming out of high school. I mean, he kind of like came on the scene in Kansas, had to sit out a few years, never really like, he didn't get too much too soon. You had Jokic, same thing, second-round draft pick. Had to work his ass off. Giannis had to work his ass off.
Giannis was scrawny. Jokic was fat and beat that knee problem. They had to work their way to be like stars.
Yeah, and you said Luka, you said Zion. Both those guys got too much too soon. It's a too much too soon era.
They got the superstar. Here's a max contract extension right away.
Right away. And now Luka's definitely had the production. I love Luka Doncic, but like he's had the production. And Zion has had the production when he's on the court. I actually saw something pretty funny on Reddit today that if Zion plays next year, which he will, and averages the same amount of points he does through, like, I think 50 games, he'll actually at one point have more points per game than games per season.
Oh, so like he'd be averaging like 30 points per game. It's like 28 and he averages like 16 games.
Like 26 season. So it's just a too much too soon era. Like, yeah, do I look at Zion differently? A little bit, but does it mean I actually think he's going to still have a stellar career because he's going to get healthy at some point? Because it seems like more of like he needs to get his ass knocked down in a wake up call and then he's going to get in shape. But he's also not blessed with the body of other guys. He has that big, big, big body. It's harder for him to keep weight off.
Same with Luka.
Same with Luka. They just have these big-ass bodies. Like, they're big dudes. Embiid had trouble staying in conditioning shape as well earlier in his career, but he kind of learned how to do it by being knocked down a few times. So I don't know if I look at him differently, but I definitely look at this era as the too soon, too early era. I mean, we talked about Mikey Williams early in this podcast. He's in trouble. Why? Too early?
He's been a superstar in high school for like 3 years, and he's not like LeBron.
Right. John Morant. Kim's in the NBA. He's getting shoe deals left and right. Gets in trouble. It's just a too much, too soon era.
Yeah, and I think that maybe the markets play a role too, right? Like, Zion was a hero in New Orleans, and Ja's a hero in Memphis. Meanwhile, you have a guy like Jason Tatum in Boston. They lose in the Eastern Conference Finals. They're pissed.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, oh, he should have beat LeBron in that Eastern Conference Final.
Right.
Oh, last year he didn't win the championship. That's not enough. Like, if Zion led the Pelicans to a championship, he'd be the hero for the next 20 years, even if they didn't win, right? Luka.
You have his street named after him, or yeah, a statue.
Yeah, like, literally, Luka is like Dallas is king after Dirk, and because they went to a Western Conference Finals and he was an all-star twice. Like, because Dallas has pretty much had only two stars over the last 30 years,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So I think the markets play a role, too. I mean, if Zion was maybe on the Lakers, this shit wouldn't fly as much.
No, they'd crucify him in L.A.
Yeah, same, like, that's why I think, like, it worked out easier for, like, a Tatum, right? Or maybe, like you said, like, Embiid was on the Sixers, like, they like fans were pissed about the process like for a while, like it's not working, like what's going on, and they're still like
for a city called the City of Brotherly Love, they don't show much love.
No, it's brotherly hate. I think the cultures play a role. Like this shit, Zion shit wouldn't fly in Miami. You have to be under a body weight percentage.
Yep.
You have to be conditioning the way they say. You have to follow what Chris, what Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley say. Even LeBron was, you know, it's like known to like, you know, part of the reason maybe that he ended up in Cleveland after Miami again, because he probably was, you know,
he can run the organization and the way he wanted to run the organization.
Exactly. But like Zion can, Luka can. And I think that, like you said, maybe the too much too soon era. I mean, you look at guys like, I don't know, there's a lot of them in the NBA right now. Like LaMelo Ball is a star. Like Charlotte hasn't won shit. They can't even make a play-in game.
Right, and he's selling shoes left and right, and kids love him. That's all it is. It's an Instagram era. These guys have millions of followers. Mikey Williams could never play a game of basketball in the NBA, and he'll be a millionaire. He's already a millionaire.
Yeah, I mean, he is a Memphis recruit. If he ends up playing next year, even 1 year in Memphis, like he'll make a couple million dollars.
Right.
He can probably make a couple million dollars overseas playing. He can make a couple million dollars on Instagram just like doing deals, right?
Exactly.
I think the too soon, too much era is the best way to put it. I also think what I said makes a difference is the markets.
I do. I couldn't agree more with that. The markets play a huge role in that. That shit don't fly in Boston. That shit don't fly even in New York. I mean, New Orleans and Memphis. New Orleans has a basketball team and a football team. Memphis has a basketball team. It's all surrounded by that. Dallas is an interesting case because they're a major market, but they seem to be forgiving. I don't know why they're so forgiving, but they are.
I think they're forgiving because, one, they have an awesome owner. Two, they got their championship not that long ago.
Yeah.
I know it's been like, what, 13 years? No, it was what, 2011? So it's been 11 years, 12 years.
Yeah.
I think they have some more patience for the next 5-6 years than other organizations.
And maybe they also just made the Western Conference Final.
Yeah. I mean, like, this stuff doesn't even fly in, like, Chicago, right? Like, cool, they have DeRozan and Levine. Their fan base isn't happy, but, like, I've seen so much on Twitter, like, blow this team up. Like, if this Bulls team was in Charlotte, they'd be the coolest team in Charlotte in the last 20 years.
Absolutely.
Like, I think that really plays a role. You know, we've seen even guys like Trae Young get too much love early on, even though he led a team to Eastern Conference Finals, which is why he gets that love. But, like, it's not the same as if he was in, like, if Trae Young was in Chicago right now, just getting that 7 seed is not enough.
Absolutely.
Like, Jason Tatum had to work to get some respect. Jaylen Brown still talks about not feeling appreciated in Boston.
Yeah,
because
which he should look at that as, I want to work harder, not that one out of Boston.
Yeah, not that I want to play for Charlotte and be the
loved
favorite person. Yeah, like, that's good. They like, don't you want to play for someone that wants to win?
Exactly. Championships matter.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I do look at Zion a little differently personally.
Okay.
I just, at his level, he's supposed to be LeBron, Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, Tatum, whatever. Like, this is not flying. And no, granted, I'm not ignoring the fact that his health's not perfect. But, like, are any of these guys' health perfect? Are Embiid's knees perfect, do you think?
No.
No. Like, do you think Luka's body feels perfect?
Never.
Jokic gets beat. We've seen Jokic comes out every game with like blood all over his arm.
Yeah, that's why I love him.
Yeah, but he's still playing. Yeah, he rested a little bit at the end of the year, but they had the one seed locked up. Zion was looking at his team, in a win or go home for the eight, not even for the eighth seed, yeah, to play in the playing game for the the 9-8 game.
Yeah,
and he was doing windmill dunks at warm up, and then being like, his answer was, "Well, I'm just not Zion yet." Okay, well, you're not Zion, yeah, because you're not playing.
You can be Z for a game.
You'd be Zy. Like, we'll get the on next year, but like, show the fans you care. That's how I feel. If I'm a Pelicans fan, I'm not happy.
Absolutely.
So, Zion, do better.
Do better, my friend.
All right, George, hit me with your next question.
All right, Sammy, this is the MVP talk, the least fun topic in sports now, but I had to bring
now,
it up.
Now, yeah, it used to be cool.
Yeah, it used to be cool. Sammy, simply, Joel Embiid's going to win the MVP, it seems like. That's what's, I mean, early voting is showing that he's probably going to win the MVP. Did the media get bullied into Embiid winning the MVP?
I think so. Because my 1-2 would be Jokic, Giannis, first of all.
Me too.
But Jokic has two, Giannis has two. In an NBA championship with a finals MVP. And I think the NBA voters are just like falling into this trap of, there's been the media about, oh, is it because Jokic is white? Which, like, the panel is not mostly white people. It's like 50-50 almost.
And
so,
even if they voted him, like, my thing is, if they voted him, like, oh, it's only because he's white. Well, like, I'm sorry, but they didn't vote the rookie of the year black. They wrote the most improved player might be black. You know what I mean? Defensive player of the year might be black. It's not a racism thing.
It's not a racism thing. Yeah. He's the number one seed in the harder Western Conference in a team.
And he's Serbian. He's not like a white American.
In a team that, frankly, has less talent than the Bucks and Sixers. I mean, Sixers have Tyrese Maxey and James Harden. The Bucks have Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton have won an NBA championship.
Brooke Lopez is going to be a five. Is going to finish top three in defensive player of the year voting.
Yeah, and Jrue Holiday is a top five defender in the NBA in general.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not hate towards Jamal Murray or Michael Porter, but like, I mean, Jokic is making a team that, without him, that's like a 12 seed. He's making it a situation where they're the number one seed in the playoffs.
Yeah, my thing is not, like, I don't even want to say who, like, my whole point of asking you this question is not to even come up as part of the, like, who should win the MVP. My thing is just, like, were we bullied? Was literally bullied, like, Daryl Morey's been on a campaign the whole entire season. Like, if you don't vote Embiid, you don't get basketball. Doc Rivers, after, like, a game against the Celtics, goes, it's over now, it's over now. Like, I feel like they were bullied into voting for Embiid. And if you didn't vote for Embiid, they were nervous about being crucified.
Yeah, I do think they got bullied, all the voters. I think it's clear that Jokic or Giannis were the MVP this year, specifically Jokic.
Yeah.
I mean, Jokic produced almost like even better of his back-to-back MVP seasons. He produced probably some of the most unique stats ever this year, and led a team to the number one seed in the finals. I mean, in the Western Conference. I mean, the other one is Giannis, who's the number one seed, right?
Yeah, that's voter fatigue.
Yeah, it's voter fatigue. And I think, you know, I saw a tweet today by the Hoop Central, big million follower Twitter account. Most people that like NBA know Hoop Central on Twitter. They tweeted, who do you think of when you see this logo? And it was the NBA MVP logo.
Yeah.
And I responded to the tweet saying, LeBron James, he should have 9 of them. And it actually got a lot of engagement and a lot of agreement and responses because LeBron James probably should have 9 of them, but that's not how it works anymore in the NBA because he's already had a couple. He already had 4, right? Or 5, whatever he had. So why would they have kept voting him? Of course, they wanted to give one to Derrick Rose and Kevin Durant. Right. Steph Curry earned his, actually. But you know what I mean? And Russell Westbrook and James Harden, like, there's no world where if you look back at the stats or you look back at the results that LeBron was not the MVP over Westbrook or some of these guys.
I'm just going to push back a little bit on that because I listened to a podcast. It was Russillo and Bill Simmons, and they went through year by year and like made the case why LeBron wasn't the MVP. There's a couple of them where he should have won. I don't think it's 9, but I mean, it doesn't really matter.
9 was an arbitrary number.
Yeah, but I'm just talking more about the voter fatigue factor that you're right about and the bullying. I feel like it's bullying. This is class A bullying.
It is. I mean, there's a lot of MVP conversations or numbers that don't make sense, right? I love Steve Nash. I live here in Phoenix right now. Mm-hmm. He was an amazing player. Probably shouldn't have more MVPs than Shaq and Kobe.
Right.
Like, Shaq and Kobe each have one. They were the best players in the NBA each at least 3-4 years in the league. LeBron, when I say LeBron 9, I just mean, like, there was a 9-10 year stretch where he was undisputed the best player in the NBA. Forget the stats being the MVP, because obviously stats play a role. Now, the reason I say that is because, like, if you look at Jokic, he's clearly MVP stats-wise. Yeah. If you looked at LeBron for 9-10 years, he's clearly the best player in the NBA stats-wise. Yeah. Forget just points per game. Like, cool, James Harden had 33 points per game, but did he average 27-9-9? Like, no. Like, LeBron was the best player of those years. Or the year that Curry won, he was clearly the best player in the NBA, right? Like, it's supposed to be with a mix of stats and clearly who's the best player should be the MVP, and not just based on, like, well, you know, Harden's been so good, a top five player for 5 years, that he kind of deserves one. Like,
that's where Embiid is right now.
Yeah, he's at the you've been a top five player and either the first or second best big man for 3-4 years. So, like, why don't you get your turn?
Absolutely. I mean, it goes back to my whole thing. Like, they should probably do it after the playoffs and then decide who the MVP is, but whatever.
Yeah, like, let's see how they play in the playoffs here.
Yeah, but that's a different story.
But then again, if that was the case, LeBron would have 9-10.
Well, it depends. I mean, they probably just give it to the NBA Finals MVP every year.
No, Iguodala wouldn't have been the MVP.
It would have been Curry. I don't know.
It would have been LeBron.
Who won that year. I don't know, man. It's just such an arbitrary thing. But it used to be the most fun conversation in the NBA. Now it's gotten, like, toxic.
I just think I think it is toxic, but I also think what you said is true. Like, it should be after the playoffs. Last year after the playoffs, despite the Warriors winning, I still think if you look at what Jokic did, he might have been the MVP.
Well, they lost in the first round, so I think it might have been Curry or Tatum.
Or Tatum, fair. But, like, I'm just let's ignore what the let's not ignore it. How do I put this? The year, the bubble year, okay? Who won the MVP that year?
Giannis,
okay. Right? I think so.
Yeah. I think so.
After that bubble, it should be clear as day that
LeBron
was probably the MVP. He was probably the best player. You guys put them in this weird-ass situation, and he prevailed better than anybody.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So I just think sometimes you got to look at it. Now, obviously, if a player has a hot playoff, that doesn't make him the MVP. Jamal Murray went nuts in the bubble, but it doesn't make him the MVP. But it should be a combination of the regular season.
The Pacers?
Huh?
Who's the guy on the Pacers that went nuts?
TJ Warren.
Yeah, TJ Warren's the MVP.
Phoenix Sun right now. He'll be the MVP of this playoffs. Just going crazy in the playoffs shouldn't be the MVP, but if there's a mix of you were the top three player, like this year, if Embiid makes it to the finals,
yeah,
okay, I'll say, you know, maybe he was the MVP.
Or if Embiid wins an NBA Jokic wins the NBA championship and gets second in the MVP, then you're going to look back and be like, that was dumb.
Like, oh, he was clearly the best player statistically on the court.
Yep.
Back-to-back MVP, should have been a third, and he won the championship. You've been like, why did he not win it?
Because they got bullied.
Exactly. So, I agree. We should consider some playoffs, and let's just stop talking about the MVP until the last week of the season and allow the voters to just unbiasedly pick their MVP.
I know, but it's easier said than done.
The problem is the MVP conversations now, too, George, start, like, in February, people are like, who is the MVP? Like, we have 35 games left.
I know. We have half the season left.
Yeah, like, if, like, we're talking about Jokic being the MVP in January, it's like, okay, what if he's out for 3 weeks? Like, then he's not the MVP.
Then he's not the MVP.
Yeah. So I think we get bullied into it, and I think the media, which includes us, even though we probably didn't even talk. Well, actually, we didn't even talk about it on our podcast.
I didn't want to talk about it.
But we all need, as a media, to just chill on the conversation until it's actually time to talk about it.
I love it.
Because that causes the bullying, I think.
That's what I wanted the answer to be.
I love it. All right, next question.
Nice.
All right. Miami Heat just won the play-in game, George. So we're set with a Heat-Bucks first round, right?
Yep.
No. Yeah, yep. Heat-Bucks, which is actually a pretty good 1-8 series. We have a lot of good 1-8, 2-7 series. Actually, in the playoffs, and
I know
3-6 are good. There's a lot of really interesting scenarios in the NBA playoffs. But my question to you is, what is the best first round series in the Eastern Conference, and what's the best in the Western Conference?
The best in the this is a good question. The best in the Eastern Conference is easy to me. It's the Cavaliers and Knicks. I mean, that's the most evenly matched series. I don't think either one of those teams is going to be an NBA champion, but both are, like, you know, fun to watch, exciting teams.
Kind of young.
Well, the Cavaliers are like building towards a championship type of team down the line, while the Knicks are still missing like that one big piece. I mean, Randall and Brunson are great, but they're not going to lead you to an NBA championship
unless they get like another guy.
No,
like
I'm saying,
Brunson,
yeah, they need the next.
They don't need the superstar, but if they had another Brunson or Randall, that'd be a very good team. Yeah, they'd be like a very Detroit Pistons-esque.
Yeah, but the Cavaliers have it. Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, Darius Garland. Like, that's a
good... Okoro is really good. Yeah. Roger Davis.
They have just a very, very good core. But in the West, man, the West has so many good series. But it's the Clippers and Suns. I mean, both of these teams have guys that can win the NBA championship. They both have big names. Either one of these teams will give fits to the Nuggets when they win their first round series against the Thunder.
All right. I'm going to... 99% agree on the Eastern Conference one.
They're both 4-5, by the way.
Are they? Yeah. No. 4. Oh, yeah. 3-6 is Philly, Brooklyn. Cavs, Knicks will definitely be the most competitive series. Like, bar none, like, it's probably the game that's most likely to go to 7.
Yeah.
Right? I think Sixers are going to run Brooklyn out of the gym in, like, 5 or 6 games. Yeah. Maybe, like, a gentleman sweeper. Maybe like they lose game 5 in Brooklyn and then win game 6 in Philly, just like a bullshit second loss, you know? I really wish we had the Heat win that play-in games. I think Heat Celtics would have been much more interesting than Celtics Hawks.
Hawks, yeah.
I do think that the Heat, even though they're not the same Heat team that we think they are, mm-hmm. the way they have been for the last couple of years, Heat Bucks can be interesting. Can be.
It can be.
Like, that's one of those weird series that, like, you could look back and shockingly see it in, like, a game 6 or 7. Like, wait, this is a good series. What's going on? But I think it's clear as day that it's the Knicks-Cavs, yep. because it's the most evenly balanced matchup. It has, like, the least star power, but, like, a lot of really high quality.
Yeah, Evan Mobley is on going to become a superstar one day. Even though, like, he doesn't play like a superstar, but I feel like he will be.
Yeah, and they have Jared Allen. Garland, like Mitchell, like they're great. And then the Knicks have Brunson and Randall and
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, and it's the Knicks.
Star of the series.
Yeah, and it's the Knicks. So I think that's a great one. Yeah. In the West, I'm going to disagree completely because Paul George is not available game one. I think we're underestimating that whenever Kevin Durant gets to a team. I mean, like the guy, even with Brooklyn, was a foot away from the, like, Absolutely. What was it, the Eastern Conference? No, yeah. From the NBA Finals?
Eastern Conference.
Yeah. And beating the Bucks the year they won the championship. Since Durant's been on the Phoenix Suns, they did not lose a single game when he played. They have DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant. That team is actually stacked. I don't think the Clippers, I think Westbrook's going to make a lot of mistakes in the playoffs. Paul George might not play game 1 and 2. You never know.
Yeah. God, Durant versus Westbrook, which is kind of fun.
I think it's one of the most entertaining in the Western Conference, but I'm not going to say that's going to be the best series. I think the best series, weirdly enough, is the 2-7 Grizzlies-Lakers.
Yeah, that was my second choice.
Because a 7 seed beating a 2 seed is not that common, and I think there's a very high chance that the Lakers go in and beat the Grizzlies in 6 or 7 games. Now, if the Grizzlies do win...
2 best records, by the way, since the trade deadline are the Lakers and yep. the Grizzlies.
So that's the way I'm looking, too. Like, the second half of the season, pretty much, Lakers and Grizzlies are the 2 best teams in the NBA.
West.
Like, in the West, yeah. Despite having Ja Morant miss games, despite having Anthony Davis and LeBron James in and out of lineups, yeah. despite the trades the Lakers made, they have the chance to be the most exciting series because a couple things. Like, I think, one... The Lakers are technically underdogs. They are 3-point underdogs in game 1. But they also have the opportunity to be a 7 seed that upsets a 2 seed.
I know.
And the Grizzlies also have the opportunity to, as Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, to beat LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I just think that's 2 teams that, like, always play with chips on their shoulders because the guys they have, the Dylan Brooks, Ja Morant, Anthony Davis's.
And there's some good matchups in that series because you got Jaren Jackson Jr. being win Defensive Player of the Year. Going right against Anthony Davis, so that's gonna be fun. Dylan Brooks is gonna be matched up against LeBron. He's gonna like give him fits, like, or try to. He's gonna annoy him at least. It's gonna be like when Paul George was guarding LeBron back in the day and just annoying him.
And every role player on the Lakers is a high quality. Schroeder's been playing high quality. D'Angelo Russell, Vanderbilt defensively, is like you can put Schroeder or Vanderbilt or somebody on Ja Morant, and you're not going to slow down LeBron, Anthony Davis, Ja Morant, these guys, but you can definitely give them some fits, like you
absolutely
said.
Absolutely, fits.
So to me, I think it's that series. But that's also, I will say, the one you picked probably also has the next best chance of being like a seven-game series. But I just wish Paul George was playing game one. Other than that, I think Suns, in my humble opinion, are surefire the most likely to make the NBA Finals out of the West, just because of Kevin Durant and the rest of their lineup. So I don't find that to be necessarily the Suns. If they had Kevin Durant all year, they wouldn't even be playing Clippers in the first round. They'd probably be the one or two seed.
Absolutely.
So I just don't find it as likely to be the best series. And I'll add that, you know, I like this matchup for them better than if they were the two seed playing the Lakers. Like,
yeah,
I think they're in a great situation. Round one, this game. Round two is probably going to be like, what, the Nuggets? And then, like,
Nuggets, yeah.
Yeah, then Warriors or Lakers. Last thing I'll say is I don't believe in the Nuggets versus Wolves or OKC. That's going to be fun. Kings-Warriors also has the whole three of those series in the West have a chance to go seven games.
Absolutely. It just shows how much it means to get that one seed for the Nuggets.
Yeah, because I will mention the Kings-Warriors series, George. I have no doubt that, like, either team can win in four, five, or six.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, five, six, or seven. I don't think anyone's going to sweep.
I don't think the Kings can win in game seven.
Correct, but I think any team can. I would pick the Warriors in a game seven. But yeah. I'm just saying, I think I wouldn't be that shocked if either one of those teams won in five, six, or seven.
No, absolutely.
Like, that's a very high-quality matchup there, especially because the Warriors suck on the road this year. I don't know how that's going to change in the playoffs, but
we'll find out. Wiggins back.
Yeah, that's another thing. He's back game one already. So
it's going to be nice.
That's a good thing for them defensively against a good Kings offense. Good Kings team.
The best offense in NBA history, analytically wise.
Yeah. The defense, they need to do something to stop Curry, though.
I know.
Hopefully.
We'll find out.
We'll see if they can. All right. George, your last question of the NBA pod today.
Are you going to love it, Sammy? This is going to be a little bit of a rapid fire. I don't want to give too much out of it. I just want some rapid-fire answers. And this is called the Legacy Game. You're going to love this. So I'm going to go through, like, different series and ask you what would this – or different players, and what would the championship mean to their legacy this NBA Finals. So we're going to start off with the Eastern Conference. We got the one seed. What would the legacy mean for Giannis?
To win the championship.
Yeah, everything to win the championship.
Giannis cements himself as the best player in the NBA for the last 5 years. He cements himself as – you know, one championship, you're in that Dirk. You're in that. Who else has won one championship? You're in that Dirk. God, there's not a lot of superstars.
I know.
One. You're in that, like, Dirk Chauncey Billups. I think
in our lifetime, there hasn't been many one-time champions.
Yeah, it's been a lot of repeats.
Yeah.
I feel like you can mention, like, the Raptors of Kawhi Leonard type of, like, okay, they won one. Like, Kawhi's won more than one, but it was, like, a Spurs championship, and then there was a Kawhi Leonard championship. Mm-hmm. But he cements himself as, like, a top 15 player
of all time. That's right. Okay,
with a lot more to go.
Right.
So I think for him, we're talking be two MVPs, two Finals MVPs, two NBA championships,
and a Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, that puts you in, like,
the Hakeem Olajuwon range.
Yeah, but I even think better because Hakeem won twice with Jordan out of the league.
Okay,
so I would put him at that, like, he's at, like, almost not as good yet, but, like, almost at that Kevin Durant range, because Durant did win two titles, but with the Warriors, I would just have to say I'm not hating on Durant. Actually,
we're gonna get there.
I'm not hating on Durant, but he won twice with the Warriors, obviously, and those are also Steph championships. So, like, he would be at that, like, Kevin Durant spot.
All right, next one, Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum's a weird one because, like, he's already building himself, like, a really good legacy.
Yeah.
But he's not – I've been bit. He's not, like
– I sprayed myself with some mosquito repellent.
Yeah, I should have done that. He's not – I just still don't see him as, like, a super-duper star, right, in my eyes, even though he kind of is. But he would fall – I hate to use this cliche, but he kind of falls in that, like, Paul Pierce for the Celtics type of place.
Yeah.
Like,
that was another one. Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce. We forgot those guys when we were saying one-time champions.
Yeah, there you go. But they did it together too. But that's where he would kind of fall right now. He's not, he hasn't been like that close to winning an MVP.
He's still so young, so the legacy's still being written.
Yeah, but he's, you know what I mean? He hasn't like been that close to an MVP. I think he was like top three 1 year, mm-hmm. but like he wasn't like in that debate, like where it's like, dude, how did he not win one yet? He's like kind of in that weird spot where like we kind of expect you to win a championship, but like if you don't, it's also okay.
Okay for now.
Yeah, so he'd be in that Paul Pierce-ish type of range for his legacy, even though I think overall he's going to be a better player than Paul Pierce long-term. But I feel like that's kind of where he'd be sitting legacy-wise.
So like top 35 player of all time.
Yeah, like he surpasses the no championship. I don't even know if he surpasses.
No, he, not all of them.
Like he doesn't surpass Charles Barkley.
He probably surpasses like Russell Westbrook.
Or like a Chris Paul.
Yeah, maybe not Chris Paul.
Westbrook also won an MVP. So like that's where it gets tricky.
It's an interesting one if he wins a championship.
Yeah, like where do you compare him to like an Allen Iverson, right? Iverson never won a championship. He was MVP, but Tatum's a top three MVP candidate and wins a championship for the Celtics out of all teams. And they have a good roster, but it's not like they have like, I mean, their second best player is Jaylen Brown. Yeah. See, their second best player is not, you know, Anthony Davis. It's not like their second best player is Kevin Durant, Devin Booker. It's like when if Booker had won that championship with the Suns, it'd be the same value almost.
Okay. Next, Joel Embiid. This is the last one on the East because like, I'm going with
Joel Embiid, man.
Guys who can realistically
he'd surpass Jokic.
Yeah.
As like, even though Jokic has two-time MVPs, he'd fall in the, to be honest, he'd be right where like Giannis is legacy-wise. He would cement himself as one of those like top 10 probably like big men ever because he plays like a top 10 big man ever. Like does that make him like better than Patrick Ewing?
Probably.
Right? That's where like the Embiid one's interesting because he dealt with the process. He went through all this stuff.
Now, Ben like Simmons,
yeah, like, are you like better than Charles Barkley, and like, are you better than like?
That's a very interesting one.
Patrick Ewing, like it doesn't feel like it, but like, I think you kind of are.
All right, I like that one. All right, now to the West, Jokic.
Shit, bro, Jokic might be in the top 15, like the 15th best player ever.
If he wins the championship, it'd be Dirk,
but better. Like,
Dirk range, top 20, easy.
Dirk range, but. Wins in Denver, who's never won before.
Never been to one.
Yeah. Wins in Denver. Back-to-back MVP. Dirk never did that. He could be a three-time back-to-back-to-back MVP. Probably will win another MVP in his career. So we might be looking at a guy that has a finals MVP, a championship, and if he never wins again, maybe still ends up with three or four MVP awards. Yeah. He might be... He passes easily the Dirk, Charles Barkley. That, like... 15 through 20 range, mm-hmm. He like surpasses all those guys.
All right. I'm not going to win it this year, but John Morant. They're a two seed. I have to, like, you know.
He becomes exactly what Allen Iverson is.
But better, right?
But a little better.
Okay.
I the reason that one's hard for me to answer is because I see no world where he wins the championship.
Me too.
The other guys you mentioned, I do see a world where they win this year. With Ja, like, I just don't think with like Dylan Brooks and Jaren Jackson, like, mm-hmm. That's an NBA championship team. When you look at, like, the Jokic teams and you look at the Suns have Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Kevin Durant. You have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. If he wins this year, I'm going to be – the guy is, like, he's better than Iverson. I mean, like, I don't even know where to,
exactly.
to begin. Like,
you put him as a top 25 all time.
Yeah, the route that – John Moran would have to go through is like beating LeBron James and Anthony Davis, beating Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins.
Then Jokic, then Giannis maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nuts.
Then Giannis or Embiid or Tatum.
Yeah.
So like if crazy. He won, he's beating some of the guys I just said that could propel to a top 15 or 20 range in history.
Yep.
He easily becomes the, like, what if Allen Iverson beat the Lakers and Kobe Bryant?
Yeah, all right, I like that. All right, next is... I'm going to skip the Suns for a second. I'm going to keep the Suns for the last one, but Kawhi Leonard. Or that last one, second to last one is the Suns.
I mean, Kawhi Leonard becomes top 15 also.
Maybe even more.
I mean, Kawhi Leonard would...
He'd be the second player ever to win three MVP awards in three different teams in the NBA Finals.
Him and LeBron, right? Yeah, he'll be on LeBron... like status, but obviously not as good, but like he'll be in that, like, hey, are you like kind of like Kevin Durant range?
He's like Moses Malone. He'll be that forgotten top 15, 13 player of all time.
Like, how much better can you say Kevin Durant is than Kawhi if he won three championships with three teams?
It'd be very hard to say.
Like, yeah, cool. Like,
that's why I thought Kawhi is a very interesting.
Yeah, like, oh, cool. Durant's a better shooter. He's a better overall player. But
he
would
have broke the system, though, if Kawhi wins it. It's like, dude, the guy barely ever plays, doesn't show up. Showed up for the Raptors, won a championship. Spurs won a championship and just kind of coasted regular seasons, then wins a championship with the Clippers. It'd be like obscene.
Bad for the NBA.
Bad for the NBA.
And that's where the legacy lands. Yeah. Kawhi Leonard would be listed as bad for the NBA and for the history.
Perfect. Kevin Durant.
I think this is the biggest legacy changer can be for Kevin Durant.
All right.
Now, granted, let's not ignore the fact that not only did he win with the Warriors, but he'd also be winning with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, yeah, DeAndre Ayton, in a really good roster. I mean, I think anybody would be dumb to ignore the fact that, like, he also joined a pretty fun, like, good this team. Might be just as good, if not better. The way it meshes might be better than the Harden Kyrie situation. It might be actually the whole assembly. Don't get me wrong. The Warriors was the best team ever, I think, with Durant, Curry, Clay, and
Durant. I think that was the best basketball team of all time.
Yeah, but the way this team's assembled could be if they win, you could look at it and say it's the best, like, position-by-position assembled team ever. You have a top-five point guard. You have a true, like, Devin Booker is
a true number one.
And a true shooting guard. I'm going positions for a second. Booker is a number one, and so is Chris Paul. Not as much anymore, but, like, he's a number one when it comes to playoffs basketball and the way he can run a team. But you go positionally, you have a top five point guard ever. You have Devin Booker, who, how many true shooting guards have been in the NBA? True shooting guards over the last, like, 10 years have been that good. Like Dwayne Wade.
Like Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson, DeMar DeRozan. Like, I'm talking like shooting guard, not like, like
Deion Waiters.
Yeah, Deion Waiters, J.R. Smith. Like, Devin Booker over the last 10, 15 years is like a top five true shooting guard. You have Kevin Durant, a true small forward / power forward, and you have DeAndre Ayton, a true center. Like, if you look at, like, positionally, it's assembled even better than this Warriors team, like, absolutely, position by position. So, but for him to go from winning with the Warriors and then coming to Phoenix, a team that, yeah, made a finals 2 years ago, but then last year lost in the second round in a game seven by 49 points. Yeah. Like, the fact that he comes in, they didn't lose a single game in the regular season since he came in. And then to come in and win a championship for Phoenix, who have never won a championship, a basketball city, a city sort of on the West Coast, but, like, kind of like an isolated, like, in the Midwest, not the Midwest, what do they call this? The Southwest,
there you go.
In, like, a booming city. I think it would just mean a lot to his legacy. And, like, he would go from that guy where people argue about him being top 10 to be like, okay, he's, I mean, shit, he's probably the best scorer ever.
All right. Steph Curry.
Let me hold off on that one because that has to do with my last question.
Okay. LeBron James.
LeBron becomes the undisputed, no matter what, guaranteed second best player, if no argument.
I think he already is.
Yeah, okay. I do too, mostly, but there is argument. Uh-huh. Like, people can look at
Kareem,
Kobe. Like, cool. I know Kobe wasn't the best player on three championship teams, but, like, he did play a lot of series like a best player, and he did win two more championships to prove it, more than Shaq did when Shaq left. And he's Kobe Bryant, right? But, like, LeBron goes from that place where it's like, oh, you know, some people are like, Bird's better than him. To, like, bro, he's the second best player ever. And now, if you want to argue him being the best player ever, because he's won five championships and the fifth one's at 38 years old, and the way this league is stacked now, and the way his longevity has lasted, I think you have a much stronger argument, despite not being six championships, to say, like, you know what? Like, if I just look at the full resume, like, I believe he's the best player of all time. I think it'd be harder to sit there and be like, oh, you're crazy for, you know.
You can make a strong case for him being the best player of all time if he wins the championship.
Where right now there's a lot of people that might say that's a crazy argument.
I think right now there's a case, but not a strong case. There's a case.
Yeah, this would be like a holy crap game.
Yeah, like now I'm like, all right, now I got to, like, do this deep dive and read and, like, compare different things. And I have to actually think about it. Not just, like, you know, I'm not the type of guy to sit there and say, LeBron's a GOAT! Or, you know, like, without, like, actually, like, or, you know, everything is the GOAT. This is the GOAT. Like, I'm more of a, like, okay, now that if he did this, like, I'm going to sit down and, like, actually think about it.
And be like, damn, like,
Is he?
Maybe he is better than Jordan. Maybe he's not, but maybe he is.
Like, or maybe he is.
Yeah.
I might say he is. It depends on also how you win the championship.
Right? Yeah, you literally go from maybe he, you go from somebody like you, you know me, I think maybe he is already. Yeah. Somebody like you says like, no, he's undisputed number two, but Jordan's still the best.
Yeah.
To, I'll hear you out actually. Like, mm-hmm. let me actually reevaluate my thought process and like actually deep dive this before I make a decision.
Exactly.
It's a huge difference.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm going to not even pause, George, our time here. Because my last question is Steph Curry.
Okay. So is this all one topic or is it a new topic?
It's a new topic-ish because it's specifically about Steph Curry, but it's the same topic that you're giving about legacy. Because I said I never thought I'd say this or be in this scenario. But Curry is one ring away from passing LeBron and like Shaq.
I know.
He'd have five. And tying guys like Duncan and Kobe. Does this make, if Curry wins it, make him the best player of this generation? Or does it make him at least like a clear top 5 to 7 player of all time?
Okay.
Like, wow. I know it's hard to say he passes LeBron because he probably doesn't.
He doesn't.
Because of Durant. But just like we talked about with LeBron. Now, if Curry gets his fifth championship and somebody comes to you and be like, let me explain to you why he's better than LeBron, would you at least open your ear a little bit?
I would, but okay, if he wins a championship, I'd put him at top 5. Like, I'd be like, guys, just stop arguing. He's not a top 10 player. He's a top 5 player of all time. Like, what he's done, he's changed the game. But what makes it even more interesting, he'd be one championship away from Jordan. Imagine if there's a world where Steph wins this year and then there wins another one and he has 6 championships. Ben, what do you say?
That's where I'm saying, like, he just
puts himself in this place where, like, if it's like a race course, like, he's, like, on your fucking ass.
Yeah, and then
right
if
now.
He wins that sixth, then you're he's like, better than LeBron, probably.
Maybe.
Maybe he's not better, but legacy-wise, probably better.
Then what do you do if he has 7? I don't think he'll get there, but then what do you do? Is he the best basketball player ever?
Well, let's pump the brakes on 7, because he's still at 4. But
why would he win 11?
Yeah, well, like, no, what if he is like the Tom Brady, where like for the next 5 years, he's still a knockdown shooter and keeps winning?
Because he can play till 45.
Yes, and just like Tim Duncan, maybe he's not the best player on the team for his 6th championship in 2 years. Mm-hmm. But he might be the second most important player on that team, and he wins his 6th championship, and he's a 3- or 4-time finals MVP. And you're like, huh. Like,
it's kind of like
he ties
Jordan
LeBron
thing.
For finals MVPs, and then you're like, he also has the amount of same championships as Jordan, then you'd be like, wait a second. Like,
it's like when Jordan became the best player of all time. It wasn't like
he didn't pass Bill Russell.
No, he didn't. He basically, I don't want to say he jumped into it, but it wasn't like an argument in 91 when he won his first championship, and all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, this guy's the best player ever.
He just won 3 in a row. Like, what just happened?
Oops. Like, that's the dude. And I was saying Curry's going to do that. But, like, I definitely think a championship puts him to the top.
I also think after Jordan's three-peat, granted, I was fucking young, right? I was a kid. But, like, let's say when Jordan won 3, you could probably still find people that were like, I still have Magic Johnson over.
Oh, yeah.
But, like,
when he won 6, they were
when he won 4 or 5, right? Like, back-to-back after the retirement, it was probably kind of just like, all right, book closed.
Book closed,
like,
yep.
And, like,
I mean, when you had other players saying it too, like Magic saying, it's God, or Larry Bird saying, that's Jordan's God described. God disguised as Michael Jordan.
Yeah. God disguised as a basketball player. Yeah. Like,
And, or Magic Johnson after Jordan retired saying, please, we beg you to come back. You're the greatest player of all time.
Yeah. Curry's not going to get to that, obviously.
I don't think so.
I don't even think he'll get to LeBron level. But the reason I said I can't believe I'll ever say this, because I thought there was no world where after LeBron won that last one with the Lakers that Curry would tie him for 4.
Yeah.
I mean, when you just look at what was happening with the Warriors and Klay Thompson and Durant leaving, like, the team was kind of collapsing, right? Like,
I know.
They lost in the play-in game to LeBron.
This could either be...
2 years ago.
Pretty simply, this could either be, wow, the Warriors won their 5th championship, they're running it back, they're favorites next year, or holy shit, they lost in 5 games to the Kings, and it's time to blow it up.
Yeah, like, are we going to pay Draymond Green?
Yeah.
What are we going to do about Klay Thompson? He's not Klay Thompson had some flashes here. He's not the same player.
No. So it could be either one this year. And hey, let's not forget, Klay Thompson is, 4-for-4 in his last 4 NBA playoffs and championships.
Yeah, the Warriors are the most interesting. Like,
no, 4-for-5, sorry.
Yeah, but the...
But any one day he stayed healthy through the whole thing.
Yeah, because Durant and him got hurt that last one. They lost to the Raptors.
Imagine if they won that one. He'd be at 5 right now and, like...
The team might be different because after Durant left... And Klay got hurt. They drafted Wiseman, which I know didn't work out, but they flipped him for some pieces this year. they got Jordan Poole in the draft. Like, whatever, they might have still ended up with Jordan Poole, but their draft position would have been different. Maybe they wouldn't have. Right. And maybe they wouldn't have that, you know, developmental year with Jordan Poole playing with no Klay Thompson again when they lost to the Lakers in the play. The funny thing is, last year they won the championship. The year before, they didn't make the playoffs.
I know.
And then now they're back as a six seed playing against, if you ask them secretly, they won't say it, but probably the most favorable opponent to play in the first round,
a team that's bad on the road. All they have to do is take a bus.
Literally. Yeah, they don't have a fly.
Yeah.
Like, Draymond Green talked about it. I don't know if you saw that clip on his Volume podcast. Like, he was talking about last year.
I stole it from Draymond.
Yeah. He was talking about last year where he was like talking about how ridiculous Memphis being in the West is, because he's like, we had a 7-hour flight to Memphis. And for the finals, they had a 7-hour flight to Boston.
Still the most underrated clip in NBA history is them. Memphis, what was that song that last year there were? Whoop That Shit.
Yeah.
And Draymond's just dancing to it while they're down 40 points. Like, we're going to win this
series. Yeah, we're going to win the series, guys. Like, John Murray, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, I won. Like, we won. Like,
you guys are up 3-2 now? Yeah, we won.
We know we lost this game, but we won the series. Like, yeah, but to finalize this, Curry winning a championship, George, I think would be. Him and LeBron, obviously, probably the two biggest shifts in legacy changes right now.
And Kawhi and Durant, probably.
Yeah, but them, we're still nowhere near talking about, like, are you the best player of the generation? Yeah. We're not talking about, are you a top 3-4? Like, Curry winning a championship, I mean, like, he's better than Kobe, probably. Like, he changed the entire game. He's better than Duncan. Like, he's better than... He's tied with LeBron, or he surpasses LeBron in championships.
It would go like in no particular order. Then like Jordan, LeBron, top. Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Magic, Curry,
Magic Bird,
Magic
Curry.
Bird, Curry,
like Duncan, Kobe. Like he'd be in that in Shaq.
Yeah,
like, he goes from like a little bit outside of the Kobe, Duncan, maybe Shaq range to like, oh, you might be above him. Yeah. Like you're inching towards LeBron and Jordan.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Like Jordan has the Tom Brady, like no disrespect to the late, great Bill Russell, Mercer Island legend from, for those that are Seattle listeners, we're born and raised in Seattle. He lived in Mercer Island the rest of his life. Amazing basketball player. The NBA is different than those 11 championships aren't the like mark anymore. The mark is Jordan 6, just like Tom Brady 7. If Curry's in one away from that. Like when Kobe won his, I think we kind of knew it was almost over, his fifth. When Duncan won that, it was clearly he was maybe the third best player on that team. Yeah. We knew it was over. Curry's sitting there being like, yeah, I might still be a top 5 player in the NBA, and I just won my fifth championship. Yeah. And you're like, uh-oh. Like, this guy might tie Jordan.
Exactly.
So this NBA playoffs, I'll say this to finalize our NBA playoff preview questionnaire pod, whatever you want to call it. We're not really previewing the playoffs, but this playoffs has some of the most interesting players, teams, storylines. Yeah, like Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, Curry, LeBron, Kawhi, Durant and the Suns, John Morant, you know, after all that controversy, is still like one of the
Spencer
best records.
Dinwiddie, the Nets.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges. Do the Brooklyn Nets go further than the Phoenix Suns and win the trade? All those good topics.
Oh, yeah. Can't
wait. There's a lot of first-time NBA champions that are...
Josh Giddey, a Hall of Famer.
And maybe they upset the Thunder. Also, fuck the Thunder, first of all. Like, we're Sonics fans, so screw the Thunder.
We're in a Sonics hat.
Yeah, but I did bet... Oh, I am, actually. Shout out to Sonics. I did root for OKC against the Pelicans, though, because Zion decided to be a bitch and sit out.
I know, seriously.
Shout out Zion, though. He's going to... If he figures out how to get on the court...
Come on the pod.
Yeah. No, if he just...
We'll feed you chicken wings.
If he plays, like, a full season or two, he's going to be a top 5 player.
I know. He's so good.
So, shout out Zion. All right, George. NBA Finals. We'll be back talking finals probably in 2 weeks when you get back from a little trip. Talking playoffs when you're back
finals,
in 2 weeks.
Man, we're jumping the gun.
Next podcast, it's going to be out. We're recording right after this, but it's not going to be out till midweek next week. A little just other topics.
And Sammy did say we're going to be in the same outfits. I will not be because I'm freezing. So I'm going to go put on a jacket.
Oh, jacket guy. All right. Much love to Sports on Tap Brothers podcast. I'm little brother Sammy.
And I'm big brother George. George on tap. He's Sammy on tap.
And, Sammy with the I, S-A-M-I. It's a little different. George, you know how to spell George. Paul George, just think of that. I will say this, George. We have two sayings. I'm going to start with, we like to say sports are fun. Yeah. And you know what we like to say?
Thank you for stopping by.
Peace, y'all.